Alrighty, folks, it is time for us to begin. No, I hate to interrupt your fellowshipping back there and all that's going on, but we've got a lot going on today. So if I can get you to head to your seats, and we'll have prayer, and we'll get right into our meeting this morning. Just a reminder that we have evangelist Byron Fox with us today through Wednesday night. And looking forward to all that he has to share. He is going to be taking a Sunday school class here with our combined classes. And I'm sure we may have some others wandering in here in just a moment. But for right now, let's go ahead and have prayer, and we shall begin. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for all that you've given us, a beautiful day that we have to meet and the health that we have to be present. And we pray right now, Lord, as we have been praying, that you would do a special work in our hearts this week. Lord, meet with us here with your Holy Spirit to both empower Brother Fox as he brings the Word of God. And Lord, open up our hearts to receive it as it is intended, and that is your Word. And I pray that in doing so, that we may leave out of here both today and throughout this week better prepared and equipped to represent you in this lost world and to please you by the way that we live and what we do. And we'll thank you and praise you for all of it. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Brother Fox, I'm going to turn it right over to you. Go right ahead, please.
Well, good morning, preacher. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
This is such a happy church. I went back and watched a little bit of the video when I last got to be here with you about 17 or so months ago. And we really had a good time that day and laughed and rejoiced in the Lord. I remember my wife was really bad sick at that point. Is Mike already making some issues?
Yeah, a little bit. Go ahead.
All right, we'll do the best we can with this microphone and my voice. I guess I've been screaming at my wife too much. I don't know. No, I have not. I promise you I have not done that. I've been married 40 years. I know better than doing that. I want us to learn this song today. If we can get the words maybe on the screen for this this song, What a Glorious Day. Jesus Christ was born on earth. What a glorious day. Now he offers all new birth. What a glorious day. Let me sing it for you, and then we'll try it together. Everybody just look at the words on the screen, and I'll sing, and you follow along, and then we'll try it together. It goes like this. Jesus Christ was born on earth. What a glorious day. Church building, they've got a little trumpet chamber. So I stand up here. And so I'm making sure my bed was ready, all that sort of thing. Several of my friends had gone on to be with the Lord that week. And just right there, I just sort of sang to the Lord. Look at the words. I sang out loud. Soon my Lord will call for me. What a glorious day. It's going to be a glorious day for saved people.
That's right. That's right.
If you're born again. You're not saved, it's not a good day.
Right.
Well, I thought, how did that go? Soon my Lord will call for me. What a glorious day. I thought this. I said, you know, I'll remember that in the morning. How many of y'all ever done that? I said, that's a bad idea, Fox Man. So I went downstairs and I got to the piano and I did that. Soon my Lord will call for me. What a glorious day. If you've got one main idea, you can probably end up, if you got any composition skills at all, writing a song. So I wrote it down that night in December, and we taught it a number of places. Please excuse my bad voice. This is the 124th or 125th church I've been in this year, and my voice has gotten tired evidently and says, you need to take a break. My voice has. I feel great, but my voice is a little low, so you just want to bear with me. Try that last verse with me, would you? I'm serving my Lord, ready? Soon my Lord will call for me. One of my friends went home to be with the Lord yesterday. His name was Ken Walters. He was 80 years old. He turned 80 years old 3 weeks ago. And he was on a Christian radio network share-a-thon this past week. And 4 days ago, he put on his Facebook, the greatest thing that I want is for all my children to be saved and all my grandchildren to be saved and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's what he put on his Facebook page. Not knowing that he was going to pass away this week. We were all pretty shocked. Psalm 126 that we're returning. And he's with the Lord. He passed away yesterday. And he did his radio share-a-thon shift. Day before that, he went and got a milkshake. He rejoiced in the Lord about the good day. Went to bed and woke up with the Lord.
Amen.
Wow. That's the way to go. It's not just how you start the counts, how you finish the counts too.
Amen.
Boy, he is still serving God. He pastored that church in Rock Hill, South Carolina all those years. And I've been with him numbers of times. And there's a fine young pastor there now. And praise God for young preachers coming on. Amen to that. I'm glad. You know, the older I get, the happier I am about young men coming into to ministry. And, we got revival meeting this week. Have y'all heard that?
Yeah.
Revival meeting. Sunday school, morning service. You know about the evening service, right? What time is a 7 o'clock evening service? Does anybody know? I try to make my quizzes easy. 7 o'clock tonight, you want to be back in your place. And then each night at 7. And we got the choir singing a little bit this week. I'm glad about that. We're going to sing this theme song every service. If my voice will hold out, I'll try to sing a little bit of specials this week, just seeing how it goes today. Lots of good things taking place, and so glad to be with Pastor Blackwell. You got a good preacher, praise God. And it's a wonderful church. By the way, is everybody in their assigned seats now? I'll start taking attendance now. I want to see you back, all right? Let's get in the Word, may we? Psalm 126. Oh, I didn't mean to mention this. I forgot to mention these things. Then we'll get right in the Bible. I brought a little bit of Christmas music with me. Christmas is coming soon. This is proof I can play the piano calmly. This is Peaceful Christmas Piano. If you get this one, don't put it on until you're within 7 minutes of your house. You're going to fall asleep. That's how common this thing is. That's what I do. I fall right asleep. And the newest one for children, Bible Stories for Kids, Volume 5. And then I believe Robertson was a wonderful preacher out of Tennessee. He told me, I said, Brother Fox, you need to write a book every year. Well, so far I've written one third of one book. And I'm way behind. Myself and Tom Farrell and John Getz wrote one book together, the three of us. But I now have two coloring books. Yeah, I've branched out into coloring books now. This is my level right here. I've become exhausted with the children of Virginia being lied to. Lied. Evolution's a lie. It's a lie. And so God gave me the idea back in January to put together a coloring book entitled God Did It. How did this world come to be? God did it. And all things were made by Him. Every page, scripture on it. Some of you don't know what Adam looked like. Right here he is on page 22. Yeah. You need this book. And scripture on every page. And we've had 12-year-old children say, we didn't know that. We didn't know God made the world. Yeah, most Virginia children do not know. And so I asked God, I got on the altar at a church in Clinton, Maryland, and I asked God if I could move 1 million of these. There's 70 million school-aged children in America. So far, we're over 70,000 since March. And if somebody here in this room get 930,000, we'll be done. So then we brought out our new one, David, and David and Goliath. They're, all the things are back there, and they're any size donation. If somebody can help me with that, would be greatly appreciated. Psalm 126. You know this passage. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we're glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. And then two very famous verses in the Word of God. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Let's read verse 5 and 6 together. May we? Ready? Begin. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I titled this morning's lesson in Sunday school, Learning to be a Soul Winner. Learning to be a soul winner. One way that we ourselves can know we're saved is if we got a big desire for others to receive Christ as their Savior. The night I received Christ was a Thursday night. And that evening I want to see all my friends receive Christ. I want to see all my family receive Christ. Well, I want everybody in the neighborhood to receive Christ. To this very day, what I want is everybody in the world to receive Christ as their Savior. Is that what you want? Hello? I talk so fast you can't get a word in. Do you want to see people saved?
Amen.
Receive Christ. This past Wednesday, we had a God and Country rally in Smithfield, Virginia, my home church. We had 10 candidates there. We had elected officials, all that sort of thing there. Had people from the community. The building was packed right there in Smithfield, Isle of Wight County. Y'all know an election's going on, right? And all them candidates came to church. And I preached on hell that night. Oh, we talked about things we need to do as far as voting and calls to action, all that. We sang My Country, 'Tis of Thee. We had the choir sing the national anthem. We pledged allegiance. We did all that. It's the preaching of the Word of God that we need so much. It's not a blue solution or a red solution. It's a Bible solution our country needs.
Right.
Amen to that. And that night, we had 5 people receive Christ as their Savior. Isn't that glorious? The night before that first presidential election, I'd been asked to go out there to Wisconsin, to Milwaukee, and to preach. And I got to preach to those folk. And I preached that night. on sin and the sin that separates America from God. That's what I preached on. And that night we had folks receive Christ. The night before the presidential debate. By the way, we prayed with six of those different candidates that are running for president. And I don't endorse anybody. No. There are no perfect candidates. Have you all noticed? And they're all a bunch of sinners. It's like we're a bunch of sinners. But Jesus Christ is perfect. And now that I've received Christ as my Savior, I want to see everybody in this entire world receive Christ. There's nothing like being born again. Nothing in the world compares to having all of your sins forgiven. And so one way that we ourselves can know that we're saved is if we've got a big desire to see other people saved. Now, people say to me, Brother Fox, we want you to keep the faith. Keep the faith, Brother Fox. Keep the faith. In my 30th year now as evangelist, I hear that a lot as I travel. They say, keep the faith, Brother Fox. Keep the faith. And I don't know what they mean. I mean, Brother Fox, stay faithful to God. Stay with it, Brother Fox. Don't give up. Don't give out. Don't give in. Stay with it, Brother Fox. And God being my helper, I want to stay with it. But it's not keeping the faith that's so important as also sharing the faith with others. Sharing the faith. Winning others to Christ. Oh, if every week, if I can just be used of God to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody said recently, said, Brother Fox, nothing but a gospel preacher. Praise God. What's the theme of the whole Bible? The death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, yes, I'm going to, every sermon, in fact, a few weeks ago, the pastor had me preach a sermon on sleep. You know, sleep's talked about in the Bible. And a bunch of you insomniacs, maybe I'll preach it this week about how to go sleep. I was able, with the help of the Lord, take that message. I titled it, Closing Our Day with God. Closing Our Day with God. At the end of the sermon, I said, everybody in this room is going to either close your day with God or without God. You need God is what you need. And preached when we had people saved. You can preach on sleep from this book and still get to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've seen it. Oh, and God blesses the gospel. Now, I want to say this. Frankly, we're not wise unless we're trying to win souls. Do you want to be wise? Well, of course we do. Of course we want to be wise. We don't want to be foolish. We want to be wise. And the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. And so we should all be trying to win souls. Just some opening comments. Well, why should we win souls? Because of the value of a soul. How valuable is one soul? The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You see, one soul. If you're listening, say amen.
Amen.
One soul. One soul is worth more than all the money, all the gold, all the treasures of the entire world. One soul. One soul is worth more than that. And a soul, I mean, each soul is unique. A soul is priceless. Soul is rare. You can't buy one. Go down the store and say, I'd like to buy a soul today. You can't do that. And how long do souls last?
Forever.
See, everybody's going to be somewhere forever. Either be in heaven or be in hell. Going to be somewhere forever. And so we ought to win souls. Why else should we win souls? Because Jesus told us to. I'm preaching at an educators convention next month. That's astounding to me that I'd be asked to do that. But right in Virginia, Fairfax Baptist Temple. And we've got about 500 teachers that have enrolled to come. And by the grace of God, I'll try to preach to all those teachers. And my text, I get to preach three times. I developed a 10-point sermon for the day, for the 2 days. All about discipleship out of Matthew 28. Go ye therefore and teach. Oh yeah, we've got things we must teach. We must teach. And we must win souls. We must teach them. We must baptize the newcomers. We're to make disciples. Holly Hills Baptist Church, what are y'all trying to do over there? Well, one thing we're trying to do is make disciples. We're trying to win folks and we're trying to make disciples. And then, why else should we win souls? Well, because of the reward of winning a soul. If If you could cure cancer, that'd be a wonderful thing, would it not?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. If you could pay off the national debt, $33 trillion now, that's immoral. That's immoral to have that kind of debt.
Amen.
$33 trillion is ridiculous. We can't even get a Speaker of the House, seem like, these days. And I don't know if that's good or bad, to be honest. I don't know. We're in chaos. And the national debt is completely out of control. If you can pay off the national debt, that'd be a great thing, I guess. That'd be astounding. But better than paying off the debt or better than curing cancer is winning one person to Christ.
Amen.
Winning one person to Christ is worth more than all that. Do you believe that?
Amen.
I believe with all my heart and soul. I love seeing people get saved. When I look at verse 5, when I pause, say the next word, verse 5. Look at it. They that also. So I wrote down in my little notes for this morning, we're talking about learning to be a soul winner. I put down number one, learn to be committed. We've got to be committed to it. It doesn't just happen. You got to be committed. I teach a financial class each morning at 6 a.m. 40-some preachers, young preachers. And I tell them how that at the end of your life, to have any money in the bank and have any investments and so forth, you have to get committed to it. I told them that when I started as a young preacher, I began putting $3.75 a week into my IRA. Yeah. Well, now 40 years later, it's worth a little bit in there because I've been putting something in. Not every week now, but every month, I still put something in. I'd be committed to it. I've never been able to put, I've never put $100,000 in at a time. I don't have that. But I'm putting in a little bit every single month. And it's amazing how over 40 years that even small amounts of money starts adding up. Well, same thing, you have to do that intentionally. Well, you have to win souls intentionally. It doesn't just accidentally happen. Now, I have had it a few times. We'll tell you what happened in July. I was going through a great big storm of life. Big storm. It ended 79 days ago today. But for 16 days, a big storm, had to get lawyers involved, all sorts of things that someone tried to harm us and so forth. And it all got settled and all that. It's beautiful how God works. And David Gibbs, the Christian lawyer, is such a help to me. Such a help. A big storm was coming along. And I called Dr. Gibbs and he said, all right, number one, Brother Fox, keep your spirit. Okay, what's next, Dr. Gibbs, when the storm started? He said, number two, keep trying to win souls. Man, when are we going to get the legal stuff? He said, number two, you got to keep winning souls. I said, Doc, I'm going out soul winning today. I said, Texas, Nolanville, Texas. And then we went on to other things in the conversation. That morning I preached to about 60 soul winners to go out in Nolanville, Texas. And I preached to them, maybe even this very passage. And I said to the crowd, I said, now I'm going to pray for a divine appointment today. That God would give me a divine appointment today. And the pastor got in the car and began to leave. The pastor said, it was 10:40 at this point. The pastor said, now while we're out, we'll get lunch. I said, great, I'm ready to eat lunch now. It's 10:40. I hadn't eaten in about 18 hours. We stopped at Whataburger. I got my soda pop, placed my order, and a lady walked up to me. Lady McCarron, she walks up to me, 75 years old. She walks up and says, sir, my name is Karen Taylor. And sir, I'd like to make an appointment with you. I said, well, Karen Taylor, it's nice to meet you today. I said, that's Pastor Garber over there, and he's got a wife, and we'll make an appointment with you. I thought maybe she'd seen me on TV or on YouTube or heard me on the radio or something like that. She had never seen me before. But somehow God put it in her heart. And see, she was cancer so bad, she's going in hospice care. And she somehow perceived I was a preacher or a Christian. Now, that is a very rare event. It's so rare, it's memorable. I in all my years of soul winning, that's like the first time that's ever happened. And it happened at a time that it encouraged me so much from the Lord. As I ate my Whataburger, I just wept. You know what I'm saying? They were so in tears. I thought, Lord, you gave me a divine appointment. She just walked up. She came to church, by the way, the next. I told her, I said, I'd give counseling sessions. She said, when? I said, tomorrow morning, starting at 10 o'clock, and then I do another one at 11 o'clock, and I got one tomorrow evening. Yeah, our preacher does a lot of those counseling sessions, don't you, preacher? Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. You want some counseling? He'll give you some. Amen. But oh, we got to be committed to this. I mean, we've got to be committed. We must be intentional. Now, you need to set some goals. Me and you need to establish some goals. Like what? That we're going to try to witness every day this week. Now, I don't know if anybody will get saved, but I need to find someone to share the gospel with every day this week. Would you say that's a good goal? Do you think maybe the evangelist ought to try to be a soul winner? Y'all a little quiet on me today. Yes. Brother Fox, you need to try to win souls. You think our preacher needs to try to win souls? Oh, yes. And Pastor, don't we believe these folks were trying to win souls? Yes. All Christians have been commissioned. And so, yes, let's make a goal. We're going to witness to some people. And let's make a prayer list. Do you have a prayer list? Every Christian ought to have a prayer list. And on that prayer list should be some people that you and I are trying to win to Christ. You've got to be intentional. They that sow, we got to sow. Bring folk to our house to try to win them to Christ. On purpose, bring them to the house. That you can, while you're feeding them, while you're playing games, whatever, but your own purpose, going to try to share the gospel with your lost neighbors, your lost co-workers. By the way, keep inviting folk to church. Keep inviting folk to church. Last Sunday, I preached in a rather small church in Liberty, South Carolina. I was there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And we're going to work hard toward a big day on Sunday. Young pastor, he's been there, I think, about a year and a half. And somewhere in that neighborhood. And so we're working to have a big Sunday. He normally runs 40 on Sunday. We worked hard. I went for hours out door knocking on Saturday. They've got two deacons. One of the two deacons, I've hardly ever seen a deacon work like he did. I mean, he went at it trying to get folk to that big gospel day. And you know, last Sunday we had about 80 folk there. About double the attendance. 23 were first-time visitors. 23. Me and the song leader, a fellow named Bill, we went much of the day on Saturday knocking doors. And by the grace of God, God gave us five first-time visitors. We knocked on their door on Saturday, and they came on Sunday. That's astounding, isn't it? I keep being told, door knocking doesn't work. Then why do the politicians still go door knocking? Because it does work. Nothing works as well as we want it to, but door knocking still works. And so let's keep inviting lost. By the way, we had folks saved last Sunday morning. Amen. Amen. I was, so many stories. Last October, I was again with a pastor. He'd only been there about 2 years. And the biggest crowd we had Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the biggest crowd we had was 78. And we began dreaming about having this big Saturday gospel day. This big Saturday gospel day. We hadn't even planned it until I got there. I saw the preacher was broken over souls. And I preached for 3 nights. We had 2 people saved in the 3 nights by the grace of God. In fact, one of them got saved, was having prayer time. I just asked for prayer time during the revival meeting. And during the prayer time, one of the folk led somebody else to Christ that they brought with them that night. And she got saved in the prayer meeting, in the service. It's astounding. Biggest crowd, 78. We set up 184 chairs in the gym. And this big gospel time on Saturday. 184 chairs. Yeah, because that's how many they had. They had 184 chairs in that church. We set them all out. And the preacher began to go down there and weep over them. Beg God for souls in that town. Mebane, North Carolina. God sent in 214 people. Amen. Now, we went out in the highways and hedges and we began to compel folk, beg folk. We're going to have cupcakes. He said that to some children. That helped get some folk there. One mama with three children, she said, "There's no way I'm coming." And she came. I guess the kids put some pressure on about them cupcakes, you know. Oh, yeah. Maybe we need some cupcakes tonight, somebody, okay? And some watermelon or some ice cream. Now, ice cream sounds good for my throat. That's my excuse. He eats a lot of ice cream. Yeah, he wants to keep his throat going well. We got to be committed to it. Got to be committed to it. Some people say, "Well, the way I win souls is I just live an exceptional Christian life in front of everybody." Hey, it's not exceptional Christianity unless we're trying to win folk to Christ. We must be committed. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
Got to be committed. Number two, I got to move on. It says in verse 5, help me again when I pause. Verse 5, they that sow in
tears.
There must be some tears. The first C was commitment. The second C is compassion. As we go soul winning, as we try to win our family members to Christ, as we try to share the gospel with our co-workers and our neighbors, our friends, as we try, we must be compassionate. There was a preacher who used to come here to Virginia named B.R. Lincoln, Dr. Lincoln. He's with the Lord. He could roll his R's as he preached. I was 15 years old. I'd see him kiss his Bible.
He's been here.
B.R. Lincoln been right here. Oh, yeah. Then you know who I'm talking about, some of you. He prayed this. I was 15 years old. He said, "Oh, Lord, please put a love in my heart for everyone for whom Jesus died." Man, I wrote that down. "Oh, Lord." 15. "Oh, Lord, please put a love in my heart for everyone for whom Jesus died." Well, that's everybody in the whole world. Because Jesus died for all, you know. I began praying, "Lord, please put a love in my heart for everyone for whom Jesus died." And I'll tell you something, God answers prayer. I walked into Nancy Pelosi's office. I just mentioned her name, and some of you are like, I'll tell you what happened. As I walked in, as I went underneath the threshold of the door, it seemed like God said to my heart, "Now, Byron, you remember that my son died for her." I didn't go that day to talk politics. I went that day to give her a Bible, to give all of her staff a Bible. We'd gotten Bibles for everybody in Congress and all their staffs. And she can be a very warm individual, you know. And Jesus did die for her. I've had people shocked when I tell them that I love Joe Biden. I've had people shocked. You know why I love him? Because God put love in my heart for him. Do I agree with his policies? No. No, no, no. I think he's done some awful things. But we want everybody saved, don't we?
Amen.
See, God can save politicians. By the grace of God, I've led about three of them to the Lord in the last year. By the grace of God. Oh, God is great. He'll win. Anybody who'll come to him, he won't turn them away. He'll save all that come. Amen. So number one, we've got to be committed. Number two, we must be compassionate. And then we're going to get to number three. Now, let's look at verse 5 again. I'm going to try to read verse 5 all by myself. And you help, you review and concentrate and see if I get this right. Verse 5. See how I do now. They that sow in tears perhaps will reap in joy. How'd I do? Did I mess it up a little? All right, let me try again. They that sow in tears might reap in joy. No, what does it actually say? They that sow in tears shall. Look at verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The third C, the first one was committed, second was compassionate, number three, confident. Have some confidence. Have some confidence as you go soul winning. Confidence in what? My soul winning ability? No. Oh, dear God, not any confidence in me at all. No. So I got this new technique. It's not your soul winning technique. I mean, I think you ought to learn some manners as you're out soul winning, and I think you ought to be congenial, and you try not to make enemies. I know all those things. But the power's in the Word of God. The power's in the gospel of Christ. It's not the presentation. It's the power of God. I've got confidence in God. I don't have any confidence in me. I'm a failure. God's a total success. Oh, yeah. Dr. Mike Edwards is a friend of mine. We're preaching together in Delaware this past July, just 2 or 3 months ago. I said, man, let's go door knocking. It's 110 degrees or whatever it was that day. It wasn't quite that high, but it's high. And here's two old preachers out knocking doors. And about the 15th or 20th door, went to about 40 doors that day. But about the 15th door, we got to lead somebody to Christ.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I went up and won a few folk to Christ, brought them to church. And church was like, how'd you do that? I said, well, the woods are full of them. Go get you some. Kind of like Alvin York, you know, and that Sergeant York. And woods are full of them. Woods is full of them, isn't it? There's people all over the place waiting for somebody to come tell them about Jesus. Everybody needs to hear about the Lord. Everybody needs to be given the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, is it just going to happen? No. It's going to take Christians doing what God has called us to do and trying to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ far and wide. So, we must memorize the Word of God so that in our conversation that we share the Word of God readily. I was on a plane flying from Memphis to Chicago. Got on this plane. I was in row one. I was all just, that wasn't first class. There was no first class on this little plane. I was here on row one, and a lady 70-some years old sat down by the window, and I'm on the aisle seat. Oh, she was happy. She was so happy. I said, oh, you're a happy lady today. She said, sir, I just went to Elvis Presley's house. I said, wow, that's amazing. She said, have you ever been? I said, no, I've never been. I said, I was born on January the 8th. She said, that was Elvis Presley's birthday. I said, no. I said, my cousins tried to get my mom to name me Elvis. You could have had Elvis here trying to sing for you, trying to preach for you. You could have had Elvis. You know? But my mom decided Elvis wasn't the right name for me. And I said this lady, I said, "Woo, you are happy." I said, yeah, I know that January 8th was Elvis' birthday. I told her about my cousins trying to get my mom to name me Elvis. I finally said, oh, you know, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. She said, what'd you say? I said, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. She said, oh, sir, that's clever. I said, ma'am, that's not clever, that's Bible. Here's a lady, 70-some years old, knew everything about Elvis Presley. Didn't know one of the most common phrases of the Bible. I began to talk to her about the Lord. Look, let's get a little scripture in all of our conversation. Let's just know the Word so well that it just starts happening. And we just start quoting the Bible before we even realize we're quoting the Bible. It's just part of our daily conversation. And oh, wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if a few of us got to lead somebody to Christ this week? That'd be wonderful, would it not?
Amen.
I remember week after week after week as a boy wanting to lead somebody to Christ. You know, it took me years before I finally led somebody to Christ. It was years. Though I tried, finally the Lord let me, everybody stand with me. Everybody stand. Finally the Lord let me win Wanda Kelly to Christ. First person led to Christ. And since then, praise God, seen folks saved this past week. Best day of my life is coming. I've had a really good day. I had a bunch of good days. The day I got married was a good day. Day our children were born was a good day. Now I'm in the grandchildren business. That's even better. Yeah, boy. I like the grandchildren. But
The day I got saved was a great day. But I've got another great day coming. One of these days I'm going to be with Jesus.
Amen.
But until then, I need to keep serving God. And one way that I can show God I love Him is by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, these coloring books, wherever they are, these coloring books, you know what they're about? They're about the gospel. We've already had people that have responded, both positively and negatively. But we had one mama in Summersville, West Virginia. She got one of these, and she came over to the church, and she said, "You've got my child all confused." See, her child was a boy, but her child was saying he was a girl. A little eight-year-old saying he's a girl. And she came to the church and said, "You got my boy all confused." Preacher said, let's talk. And got in the office and opened the Bible up. You know what the mama said finally? Single mama, trying to raise this child, a boy who's saying he's a girl. The preacher talked with her. She said, "Nobody's ever shown me that before." Guess who's been coming to church Sunday after Sunday? She's not received Christ yet, as of 2 weeks ago at least. This would make 2 weeks. That mom has been coming to church. She said 2 Sundays ago, she said, "Pastor, our home's a lot more peaceful now that he knows he's a boy."
Amen.
We've confused a lot of people, including our children, haven't we?
Amen.
A boy will never be a girl.
Amen.
A girl will never be a boy.
Amen.
That's biological truth.
Amen.
That's Bible truth.
Right
in the very beginning of this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. A church over there in Edinburgh, Virginia. A widow. A widow bought 120 of these. And got the pastor's wife and said, "Can we have a class with all the children?" And they had a Saturday class. Gave a bunch of these out. Had a class teaching them how to color. And then teaching the children how to take this inside front cover and win their friends to Christ. And said, "Now, children, we're going to give you some books so you can go in your neighborhoods and be little missionaries for the Lord, would you?" That's what the widow lady over there did. We've got to find some way to get the gospel out. Amen.
Amen.
Gospel tracts, we've got them here. We've got Bibles. We've got the gospel. Let's go share it, all right? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for how you've blessed in this Sunday school hour. Oh, Lord, we love Sunday school. Thank you. And Lord, we pray for your touch upon this next service, all for thy glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Hey.